They don't call it the Speedway for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. All right, and today we have a special guest with us, the mastermind behind At Indy Camping, the Ungettable Git. He's been asked to interview for 5 different podcasts and turned them all down because none of them were as much fun to hang out with as we are. Well, at least that's what we think. But we've got Doug from At Indy Camping.
No, At Doug YouTube. Indy Camping is At Doug YouTube, Track Ted At The Track, and Gabe Vanderburg, and we all created those together, and Indy Camping is our common
It's their common mind. Twitter, common mind. So we've got Doug
That's
with
our
us.
Filter.
That's an important role.
It's an important role. Ted is our filter. Yes. Ted is the one you guys met this weekend.
Ted, yeah. I understand your pain wherever you are right now.
Yeah. Molly's the voice of reason in ours.
Exactly. So you got to add the voice of reason.
You do.
Ted's our voice of reason.
Yep.
So.
And then there's people like me and Doug,
mm-hmm.
who were never the voice of reason.
No. That's why I don't claim any camping. It was a group effort. Actually, we started with 4,
mm-hmm.
and Mitch moved to Texas, so we had to disown him.
Yeah.
No.
Nobody moves it. Yeah.
No.
No. Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. His wife.
I guess
you can't fight that reason.
That's an essential reason. But
so, give us some background. How did this all come to be?
Oh, Indy Camping.
Yeah. What was the?
Oh, Indy Camping only started four years ago. Yeah, it was 4 years ago at Birmingham, Alabama. We went to. I've been to 8 of the 9 races at Barber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right. Or 7 of the 8 races. I've only missed 1 Barber race. Since the whole time it's been there. And we went down there, and it was the 4 of us. We had camped a bunch before that, and we just created a Twitter handle, and we all became part of it. We elected Ted as our media consultant. Ted took over and got the Twitter account. Actually, we all have access to it. It's just we let Ted do it. Ted does a good job.
I get that.
But the ideals that we do and the stuff that we do is a community effort through everybody and everything that we do.
Awesome. So you guys started 4 years ago in Alabama, but how long have you been going to races?
93.
First one here at the track?
No. But the first one at the track for me was 95 when I got out of the service.
Okay.
And I came and I moved to Indianapolis coming out of service because I was born and raised in Peoria, Illinois. We came over here in 95. I went to my first race in 95. It was probably 97 before I really got into just going to a lot of races and doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until, 97, I had a great friend that kind of, let's just say he went a wrong direction. But I went for like 6 or 7 years with him to different races. We went to Phoenix. We went to Miami. We went to Iowa. We went to a ton of races, camp, lived cheap. I had kids at the time, so we had to do it ultimately cheap. There's a million stories that's behind all those races and how you can get into a race for free. And we did all that, and then he kind of had his issues or drug problems, whatever you want to call it. And then I spent 10 years begging anybody and their brother that wanted to go to a race. I live in Speedway, and I couldn't find anybody to go to a race.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
That is a tragedy.
So
it's a shame we didn't meet sooner.
Yeah, so I think it was like 2002, 2001, I met Gabe, and I talked him into going to the Rolex with me. I'd went to a couple races before that, but really I talked Gabe into going to the Rolex with me. I started talking to a bunch more people, and Gabe introduced me to Ted, and then we went through that whole thing. We've just been going to races ever since. Now I got people to go. I've got Mr. Tom and everybody to go to the races with me. I love it.
Good.
I go to 10 races, 12 races a year.
That's awesome.
Now, do you drive to all the races? So, is there a radius, or would you go? I mean, you went to Phoenix.
Well, okay.
You still go to Phoenix?
This year, I went to Rolex 24 Hours.
Yeah.
Sebring 12 Hours, Barber, the 2 races here.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit only on Saturday because Sunday sucks. Well, Saturday you get a concert, which was Montgomery Gentry. You got the IndyCar race, IndyCar qualifying, IMSA race, stadium trucks, Pirelli World Series, all in one day. It was like 12 hours of racing, followed by a great concert with Montgomery Gentry.
Yeah,
no, that makes sense. And then Sunday's just one race?
Sunday's one race, nothing happens, and as soon as it ends, 20,000 people try to leave an island.
Because
the wife learned that with me. I took the wife to the first year of Detroit, the first year they were there, and Saturday was phenomenal. We had a great time, everything else, and then we went to Sunday, and literally that first year, they were knocking down fences and running over people, trying to get on. It was mass chaos. I'm standing in this mass sea of people trying to leave, right? And this huge, like, 6'6" black guy's in front of me. I'm like, dude, you look out of place. You know, I'm just like, literally, you're out of place. He's like, I know, I'm trying to get this shit under control. I'm like, what's your job? He's like, I'm the promoter.
Oh, my God.
He's the guy in charge of everything. I said, well, you know how you can solve this? Do camping on the island. He goes, you're not the first person to tell me this. And that was the first year Detroit happened.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, they still don't allow camping on the island.
That's dumb.
If they allow camping on the island, you could get two races a weekend, and you could stay right there. And
you wouldn't have
walk.
That mass exodus.
No, you just stay right there on the island.
Yeah.
Hang out.
It would be a great weekend.
Right. I mean, they totally should, because they don't open the island to the public until after that race anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because it's not open to the public until after that race.
Yeah, it was amazing, but... So I never went back until this year. I went back with those guys on a Saturday because I love Montgomery Gentry, which I'm missing for you guys.
Are they performing?
They're performing tonight on the free stage at the State Fair.
Oh, well, you could have gone. We want to reschedule. We want to reschedule.
But I went to Detroit. I went to Middle, Road America, Mid Ohio. Somebody's going to tell me.
That's
right. But I'll go to Gateway. I'll probably go to Petite Le Mans.
Nice. What's your favorite track other than this one, obviously?
IMS.
I mean, we've said it before. I don't think you've listened to our podcast, but we said the IMS is the best there ever was. The pagoda wakes up in the morning and it pisses excellence.
IMS is IMS. I mean, we're literally,
a stone feet. Throw, yeah,
I could throw a
we're 100 feet from the IMS right now.
You know what's funny is on the drive over, so Doug and I both live in Speedway, and Molly says on the driver, she goes, so who's closer to the track, you or Doug? I didn't even hesitate, Doug. And she was like, really? And I was like, just wait. Because you give me your address. I'm like, I know exactly where the fuck your house is. And so we turn on the street, and Molly's like, oh, he is extra close. I'm like, yeah, no, like, there's no contest.
And Kate Seven's right there.
Yeah.
Tunnel underneath the track.
Nice. Right.
Like I always say, though, and I kind of got mad at you guys last week.
What'd we do?
Or 2 weeks ago, I think it was. If they raced tricycles at this track, I would go over there and watch them.
I mean, we would, too.
He's talking about...
Oh, because we talk such shit about the Brickyard.
They race tricycles.
Now, to be fair.
I go over there. I'm going to go over there at the end of September, beginning of October, and watch SSC.
Oh, we are too. We are too. We're going.
I camped out. I live here. I camped all weekend with my son at the vintage race.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
My wife thinks I'm nuts because I'm camping literally 100 feet from my house.
You run out of stuff. You could just come back.
But, you know, if they did anything in IMS, they're my neighbor. I love them. I do everything about them.
We agree. It was just a bad race.
It's a bad race. It's a bad race every year. I have one of the best tickets.
It's a bad race every year.
Yeah, it's,
we are in agreement on that one.
No, well, I guess maybe we should need a new mindset. We're just going somewhere to get drunk.
There you go. Right. We're just going to go with them next year.
Yeah, that's what's
going to happen. So do you guys want to hear a controversy on that? That's what happens when safety takes the forefront in a racing series.
Well, that's exactly right, because they used
NASCAR
to be faster.
NASCAR moved safety to the forefront, and when they moved safety to the forefront, their racing went to crap.
Yeah.
Well, because, and we talked about this
but
all
I will
before,
say,
is that there's this balance of, like, speed versus safety. Nobody wants to see drivers killed, but at the same time, it still has to be entertaining.
Right, and I will say this, and I don't know if you guys went on Saturday, but the
nationwide...
Saturday
was great.
Yeah.
Saturday, the nationwide race was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever they did on that with the restrictor plate, the lower downforce, all the stuff they did on that race, that made a great race.
Yeah. That's
they were going too wide through Indy, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some phenomenal stuff on Saturday that they probably should have done 3 years ago in the Brickyard. They would have kept the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a restrictor plate person, but in this day and age with the technology we got and the stuff we have, it's all restrictor plate racing. Whether it's IndyCar, whether it's anything, it's all restrictor plate racing. They're restricting
what how
you
fast
can
they
do,
can go.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why Ari Lineback still holds the record for speed over here is because no cars even...
Oh, he will always hold the record.
Yeah, because
he
they'll
never
let them
be
go that fast again.
No.
Yeah.
No, he was the last one. Once Scott Braden died, it was done.
Yeah.
Do you think them moving the race to September will change it at all?
If they would have moved it to the playoffs, I think it would have made a huge difference. But moving it one race from the playoffs, I think they have the same problem they have right now, which is, like I said, 3 or 4 years ago, they could have fixed it.
Yeah.
You know, even 5 years ago, they could have fixed it. If they had the racing like they had on Saturday, the problem is the past 10 years worth of racing at the Brickyard is single file racing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no passing. There's no, I mean, there's not even really any pit drama.
No,
like,
there's no
you can't
drama.
Take
well,
two,
and,
you can't do
no, and it wasn't even, like, okay, so Mid-Ohio, so some other people that we had met that weekend, in addition to you guys, had said, you know, that they thought the Mid-Ohio IndyCar race was a little boring. Joseph Newgarden's car was crazy fast, and so there wasn't a lot of drama for the lead position, but there was a lot of change happening further back in the field. But even the Brickyard, there was hardly any change happening further back in the field. I mean, there was hardly any change happening, period. There just wasn't, there weren't that many passes. They're just, yeah.
They like, were locked up.
They were locked up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kyle Busch's car was definitely faster than everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got into that wreck, he probably would have won, but
right.
He didn't.
Which
so
is
goes, but...
air disturbance, which is what they're trying to fix in 2018 IndyCar.
Yeah.
It's air disturbance.
Such
you know,
a sweet model,
to
too, by the way.
Yeah, that clean air versus, yeah.
That whole scenario of trying to create exciting racing is the new go-to because right now, of all the races I go to, IMSA, which is owned by NASCAR, which drives me nuts. I hate the fact that they bought IMSA.
Yeah.
But IMSA's owned by IndyCar, and of all the races I go to, IMSA brings the youngest crowd, the most enthusiastic crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, it's because they recognize the damn cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if any car's not second records, they're not doing, going to break the 150-mile-an-hour barrier, going to make the 200-mile-an-hour barrier. I mean, that's what I was listening to before you guys came here. For Trackside, they let in with Tom Carnegie doing all his announcements for breaking 150, breaking 200.
Yeah.
You know, doing all that. You know, you take that away where there's, you'll never break the track record ever again.
Yeah, and that excitement's gone.
That excitement's gone. So then you go back to the racing. IMSA's got the package, man. It's great racing. It's phenomenal cars. They've got all the people that can represent to the cars. They have all the manufacturers. They've got the people that show up. I own a Porsche. I get to park in the Porsche garage. I own a Corvette. I get to park in the Corvette garage.
Nice.
I own a BMW. I get to park in the BMW corral. They have that.
It's like we're
whole...
taking my car then.
We're taking my mama's car.
Okay. I mean, mine's a convertible, but whatever.
Well, we'll see how
it goes. If you go to IMSA race, do it sometime. A big IMSA race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this race was awesome here. I mean, NASCAR got mad because IMSA was beating the pants off.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of them. You know, they try to say other things, but IMSA was beating the pants off them. If we don't have a race here in the next 2 years at Indy, I'll be surprised if we don't have an IMSA race. It'll be because NASCAR's scared.
Yeah.
But I'm not really, because they own IMSA, and I'm telling you, that's the future. That's where all the young people are. That's where I see all the kids. That's where I see all the people going, is to the IMSA races.
That makes sense.
I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, I'm an IndyCar diehard fan. And we're getting a younger generation, but it's like, you know, 3 out of 4 parents can talk their kids into being IndyCar fans.
Yeah.
Opposed to you go to an IMSA race, it's like 5 out of 4,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping IMSA will come around.
We're supposed to ask you what you're drinking too, by the way. Since he's not drinking beer with us.
He's not.
In Annapolis, Hotel Tango.
Woo! Hotel Tango.
Bravo Bourbon in Annapolis, made right here in Fountain Square.
Right in Fountain Square. Good people. They
I like them.
Anything.
They're good stuff.
Yeah.
I'll support them.
No, nobody pays us yet. Yet.
There you go.
One day.
One to get it done.
I know. There's some things that we go on and we talk about, and I'm like, just so you know, nobody's paying us to say this. I'm like, so this is a legitimate recommendation. I'm like, I'm not saying I wouldn't lie for money. I'm just saying I'm not today. So,
oh, you didn't ask me my favorite track?
Oh, yeah.
Outside
the IMS.
Obviously, outside the IMS.
I can't answer it. To be honest, I can't answer it because Barber, their museum's awesome.
Okay. Ooh. We're going.
They're a motorcycle museum, and they just, next year, 2018, they will have double the square footage. And they didn't have it finished this year, but next year it'll be finished. Double square footage. I think they're going to have like over 5,000 motorcycles.
Okay.
Over 200 cars. It's nuts. And I love it because you camp, you walk up the hill, you sit on top of this hill, and you can see probably 60% of the track.
Oh, much better than the hill we were sitting on in Ohio then.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then you go from there. I told you already about Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Road America. This is my second year to Road America because the first year I forgot a golf cart, which is a whole other story that the other guys I'll tell you about.
Okay.
And this year, though, it was still a great year last year, but this year, being able to drive around that track, it is so massive. It's a 4.5 mile road course.
Wow.
It's freaking huge.
Shit.
If you don't have a golf cart, it's massive.
Can you?
And I went the first year without a golf cart, and I absolutely loved it. I saw a great view going,
yeah,
coming out of the kink, going into the carousel. It was great. I had a television in front of me. But this year, I was able to sit on top of 13 and 14 and have two televisions, see probably 25% of the track. It was phenomenal. It's such a massive track. Wisconsin does a great job. The people are awesome. It's nice. It's not a party track. There's parties, but it's not a party track like Mid-Ohio. But then you switch gears and you go to Mid-Ohio. Mid-Ohio is a party and a half.
Yeah.
Those people are nuts. They come there to party. It's like Carb Day in Indy. They just come there to party.
Yes.
They're there to have a good time. It's great. It's phenomenal. We'll see. I was at Gateway back. I did Gateway for 4 years back when we used to go to Gateway. It was a little different experience for me. I was in a motorhome on the turn 4 on the infield right next to the guardrail with no fence, no nothing.
Oh, my God.
That was nuts. It'll be interesting now because they're selling camping right outside the track. So I'm camping right outside the track. Can just walk around the corner and go in the track. It'll be interesting to see how that one pays out. But so you can see how I have 3 different tracks that are permanently on my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a secondary track, I've been to the Daytona 24 Hours 5 times now. Going to bed with race cars racing, waking up with race cars racing, and watching them on a wall in front of you is spectacular.
Yeah.
But this year is my first year to Sebring. It beats Gateway, Carb Day. It beats everything. That party is out there.
Wow.
I mean,
put that on the list then.
Yeah.
Dude, no. Carb Day, I mean, put it this way. Sebring, this couple, I can't remember their name right now. See, my brain just went dead. Too much bourbon. But they set up an entire circus tent, okay? And on one end of it is live bands playing all night long, both nights. The other end is a full bar. They can give you alcohol for free. They can only ask for tips. And they can't even ask for tips. They just, you know, they're like, here's free alcohol. I checked, you're 21. They give you free alcohol, you know, for it. And it's all on tips. That's one. And then there's probably 7 or 8 other ones. So you would never have to buy alcohol. It's all free. It's everything's free if you don't want to tip anybody, because it's all tip stuff.
Yeah.
So if you tip people, you know, you're tipping them for what you think it's worth and everything else, and you want them to come back and everything else. You can imagine that style party.
Yeah.
Where you can go anywhere.
Well, and you don't have
anywhere.
To bring your own alcohol. So,
yeah.
And so, I mean, people who normally would only bring beer into a track, they're drinking hard liquor. So it's getting wild.
It's
fast.
Getting stupid, dude. The stuff we saw, and then.
I mean, that's always a discussion with my family when somebody gets married. It's like, okay, there's going to be open bar. Is it going to be just beer and wine? Because we all know that we can't be trusted if it's an open bar with hard liquor.
Yeah.
Shit gets crazy fast.
Yep. And everybody does their campsites up. It's all done up. It's, you know, between the Sebring cows and Dodge City and Turn 10 and Turn 9 and all the guys that do everything that they do, you know, it's a massive... Put it this way, okay? I had dreamed for almost 10 years to go to the Rolex 24 Hours. I begged every single person in my life to go to the Rolex 24 Hours with me. And I'm like, I'll pay for the whole thing. Just go with me. I'm not going to go by my fucking self.
Yeah, sure.
So for like 10 years, I begged. Finally, Gabe goes. That's a whole other story about me going and Gabe going. But we get down there. We get in the infield. We get everything. We are so fucking stoked. Mm-hmm. And every single local we run into are like, yeah, this race is all right, but Sebring's a lot better. So the past 5 years, I've spent every single freaking local I run into down there going, Sebring's better. Sebring's better.
Wow.
And then I finally went this year and I went, Sebring's better.
Okay.
Sebring's better.
That sounds like we're going to Sebring.
I think so.
Go to Sebring first.
Okay.
And then the 24-hour you got to do because...
Yeah.
There's nothing like literally falling asleep and waking up and the cars are still going.
Yeah.
I mean, Le Mans.
And literally, I will guarantee you, you will wake up in the morning, not because the race car stopped, but because the race cars went under yellow.
Oh.
The sound change.
The sound change will wake you up and you will be like,
what happened?
What happened? Oh, they're under yellow.
Typically what happens anyway. But how did they yell again? What? It's this year's race.
Only NASCAR races.
Oh my lord, the stages. How about, before we go into like the rumors everybody changing, how about favorite driver?
Oh, so I don't have one of those.
You don't have a favorite driver?
I don't have a favorite driver.
See, it's hard for me to pick one that I love more than everybody
That's
else.
True, we did do 5.
Yeah. Now,
it's easier the other way.
Yeah. I'm going to say, on the other end, yeah.
Yes.
Who do we hate the most?
Answer it.
Do it.
Would say my worst driver is Marco Andretti.
Yes.
He's the only driver that ever banned me. It's the only person to ever ban me on Twitter.
He blocked you?
Yeah, I think he's been more to block me.
He blocks everybody, though. He can't even make a fucking joke about himself.
It
He's
took me 2.5 hours at Road America to get blocked by him.
That's a new track record.
Track record!
Did you
took
see?
Me 2.5 hours to get blocked by him at Road America.
Such a little
bitch.
What'd you say to him?
I don't know. You have to look at this whole Twitter feed.
Did you see that they canceled the Ask Marco, the gateway? They had this whole thing about Ask Marco, and then they canceled it, and then Marco tweeted, he was like at an airport, he was like, hey, I've got some time before my flight, any Q&A, and a fake driver account was like, how does it feel to be the worst driver on Andretti? I got blocked immediately.
Oh my god, I hate him. And thank you for hitting Marco.
So, that brings up, we wanted you to tell this story on the podcast. Since Marco does have a special place in your heart, you make him an anniversary sign every year.
Yeah, which you guys got wrong the last podcast.
Okay.
It's Every Road America.
Oh, it's Every Road America. Okay.
Because they moved the races.
Okay.
When they moved from Saturday to Sunday, which I haven't been back to Iowa since they moved it from Saturday to Sunday.
Gotcha.
I went to every single Saturday night race that ever happened in Iowa I've been to. the Sunday night races I won't go to.
Gotcha.
So they moved it back a week, so now the anniversary is on Road America weekend.
Okay.
So we make a sign for Marco to remind him he's a loser.
That says happy anniversary.
Yes.
How is that received? Does he ever see that sign?
Well, considering last year we parked directly across from him, like right in front of him, like less than 15 feet from him. He also had to come and watch Graham Ray Hall and Rossi sign it.
Oh, that's the greatest thing ever.
This year, we were probably
maybe
30 feet from him during the Andretti autograph session because he was facing away from us, even though all the drivers were hitting him and telling him to look at our sign. He had to actually face us during the Andretti sign and have to sign autographs looking at the 6th anniversary.
The greatest story ever.
Happy anniversary.
The number of people that walked by and would walk by and get about 20 feet up the road and then come back and go, I got it, finally.
That's hilarious. All right, who else do you hate? Or is your least favorite?
No, that's about it, dude. Marco is like
that's
bottom tier. It's like done or that. Everybody else, I kind of like. I mean,
okay. Yeah.
They're fine. I'm an IndyCar fan. I like
I get that. It's hard. It's like,
yeah.
You know, and I'm an underdog rooter. I mean, I'll root for the underdog.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'd say my favorite team of all them is anybody but Penske.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, but you love
so it's
I
kind
know,
it's kind of like
Kelsey.
My two favorite baseball teams.
I love
the Cubs and anybody playing the Yankees.
Sure.
I will say willpower does give me pause in my Penske hatred, but it's Will, so it's okay. It's allowed.
I mean,
no,
I was sad when
Newgarden
went to Penske because I really, I wish he would have stayed with Ed Carpenter.
But if you follow my Twitter, I am very much rooting for Helio this year because me and Gabe's bet, I need Helio to win the championship this year.
Do you think he's going
to
win?
How much
Helio needs to
right
win the championship right now.
How much
or
money?
$100.
All right, look.
I think you're going
to
be out.
Catherine Nevins, I know you don't listen to the podcast, but apparently you need to win the championship. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It goes dark.
All right.
Although, I also need some points because I don't think I can afford paying for all the beer we're going to drink the off season.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to make you pay for the entire off season.
Well, that's good enough.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, it was me and Gabe sitting on top of the hill at Barber Motorsports.
Drinking?
No, we don't drink. And we were sitting on top of the hill, getting ready for practice to start. This has to be 2003?
Mm-hmm.
2004. We were picking our fantasy teams. We're talking shit. We're talking shit between each other. We're doing everything else. And I picked Dario and Helio. And he goes, why would you pick two has-beens? So we get in this big argument over whether Helio and Dario is freaking has-beens. So we end up in this bet at the time that Helio or Dario would never win another championship.
And you need
him in 2002. So this is 5 years ago. And we betted on it. You know, we bet $100 on it. So my last ditch effort
this year.
But remember, that year
Alien
was
won.
The year, no, it was the year that Helio finished second in the points.
Yeah.
It was the year that Helio finished second in the points. It's been a rough ride. Because remember, when Dario wrecked, he was like, what, third in points?
Yeah.
Or second in points? I mean, he was up there in points.
Yeah.
So it's been a dance for a couple of years on whether I was going to win this thing or I wasn't going
to
win this thing. And then
well,
what,
to Helio's,
now. In, Helio's in, what, third now?
Yeah, I think he is in third.
Yeah. No, Scott Dixon, the fourth. He finished behind
right,
Helio
right.
That
yeah.
last
yeah.
year. Yeah. So I'm in third in points right now. I need this win.
This is maybe my last one. I was about to say, you think this is his last year?
No, I really do think it's this last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll go on. Even if he wins a championship,
yeah.
I don't think he'll go on, because if you look at the Indy Life drivers coming up, if you look at the talent that's in the series right now, Montoya was talented as hell when he quit, you know?
Yeah, and he can't have...
You know, Penske's going to make decisions that benefit Penske.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why would you not pick up a younger driver or a better driver?
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee you part of his contract with the Honda DPI car is he needs top-name drivers for that.
Yeah. Oh,
so
Alias,
why not get
Montoya,
Tony Kanaan, Helio? You know, I mean, there's a list of these drivers that are retiring this year that he can grab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are big names. That's going to bring money. That's going to bring sponsorship. Helio's big problem was Helio's whole career. He never bonded with a sponsor.
Yeah.
He never developed a sponsor relationship.
Yeah. Like, Graham Rahal obviously was Steak and Shake.
Yeah, but I mean, Steak and Shake's family-owned business. So
it's
iffy on that one. But he definitely tries very hard to bond with his sponsorship. He wants his sponsorship to bond with him.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything he can to do that. Whether it's, you know, them or United Rentals or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to bond. So, I mean, and that's the key right now. I mean, I wish racing right now was who was the best driver, which is false. Because Ed Jones would be in a lot better car.
Yeah.
You know, it's who brings the money.
Mm-hmm.
Who
feel like that about Pippa as well. We think she's a better driver than the car she gets.
Yeah. All right,
fair enough.
You're not going to get agreement
with
me on that one.
That way about
Well, yeah,
now,
we go,
if you want to go to
the
Swiss chick.
Simona Di Sivestro.
Yes.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
She's a talented chick.
Yeah, she is.
And
she
even had that nuclear sponsorship.
Yeah.
And she still couldn't get a ride. I would agree with you on that I think she didn't get the respect she deserved.
Agreed.
Oh, definitely.
I think she was a lot better racer than what she got respect for.
Yeah. I think she was, too.
Name of the game is sponsorship.
Which is against what everybody says in motorsports. If you're a good-looking woman, you can make money. And
it's
she's
not
a great-looking woman, and she couldn't make any money.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that it's harder in IndyCar, as opposed to any of the other forms of auto racing, to have a female to get good sponsorship. I think there's way more female representation in the other.
No, I would argue that in NASCAR, because in NASCAR, it's way more what sponsorship do you bring to the
team.
Oh,
absolutely.
Than you do in IndyCar. IndyCar, they have a lot of paid seats, you know, and NASCAR hasn't many paid seats as you would think. You know what I mean? That, like, the teams are paying the driver to race in that team. If you look at paid drivers, NASCAR's losing, you know, the number of paid drivers faster probably than IndyCar's losing them. IndyCar, I mean, you look at the number of paid drivers in IndyCar, you know, Will Power, Scott Dixon, I mean, everybody that's on top of the chart, you know, from Simon Pagenaud, everybody, they're paid drivers. They're getting paid to drive.
Yeah.
You know, the only people that you can see, the only sport you can see the number of paid drivers growing, which goes back to what we started with, which was IMSA.
Yeah.
IMSA, the number of paid drivers is growing massively. That they don't have to bring any sponsorship.
Yeah.
They
just have to
show up
and drive.
And they get paid to drive. And how are you going to get the best drivers? Pay them.
There you go.
Yeah.
How do you get the richest drivers? You make them come in and pay for the ride.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even falling into F1 right now. I mean, look at the number of paid drivers in F1.
Which, yeah, it does. It is kind of disappointing when it turns that way. Because then it's not about who's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're better drivers, but they can't get somebody.
They don't have sponsorship.
Yeah. Which, again, goes back to, you know, being too much about safety and whatever. It's like, well, you're not getting the races you should get because you don't have...
Well, it's not about safety. I mean, they still allow Jerry Kimball in the series. Wait, was I supposed to say that on the podcast?
Oh. That's just about it.
shit up. Bottas wired into there, dude. He's a dangerous driver.
He's got some issues.
Some issues?
Yeah, that's the polite lawyer way of saying things, Doug. But do you think Charlie will come back next year?
Charlie will be back next year. He's a diabetic. And if they don't dump him, if they don't dump him for Connor that is a diabetic too, which would you rather have, Charlie Kimball or Connor Daly?
Connor Daly,
Connor.
He's a better example of a diabetic than freaking Kimball is. I don't know. I mean, you know, he's built.
Mm-hmm.
He's built a lot bigger. He looks great.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why wouldn't you dump Charlie Kimball and grab Connor Daly?
That's what we've been saying. That's what we've been
saying. But I mean, that's the whole thing, you know. When you have a battle of sponsorship, it's left us sitting here talking about who's the better diabetic to get the better sponsorship. Is that not sad? Is that not sad?
It is. Who's the better diabetic?
Hashtag who's the better diabetic. We're gonna hashtag that out, I feel like.
Maybe it's already out there, just look it up. I'm just telling you, just look it up, it's pretty good. But yeah, that's a problem you get in that situation. It's like, alright, who's buying for what sponsorship and who has what sponsorship and who has a billionaire dad?
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't have a billionaire dad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marco. Who wouldn't have a red if his family didn't have a race team?
My answer is already on record.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I don't... the Marco thing is interesting because I think he had talent back in the day.
Agreed.
Back in the day when he was coming up and everything else... You could argue he had the best equipment, best everything, best, you know, money, sponsoring everything else. But, you know, the first couple of years he came in when he was young and hungry, he tried.
Yeah.
He got upside down at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive to get upside down at Mid-Ohio.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I was impressed, and I don't know what scared him or what, you know, I don't know whether there was the hit in Indy the year after that, getting upside down in that. Because he hit the wall really hard in practice at Indy. I don't know if that's what jarred him or whatever, but since then, the hunger for it just doesn't seem to be there.
I agree.
I think that's 100% his issue.
Yeah.
100%. Because he made, what, after...
I mean, it's not like he's not had... I mean, cannot possibly have bad coaching.
No. No!
Lord have mercy.
So it's not
he's
a
the
coaching
only one
problem.
Of the four Andretti team members who hasn't won the Indianapolis 500. It's obviously not a coaching problem.
No, I mean, I don't know what his issue
is.
Yeah,
neither.
I mean,
well, and we watched
I don't know
the,
if it's a pride thing. You won't go to a sports psychiatrist. Because that's what turned Graham around. Graham went to the sports psychiatrist, turned himself around, did what he did, and took care of it. I don't know if I should call it a sports psychiatrist.
Right, but...
He got whatever help he needed to get.
Yeah.
And he very much matured. He very much came out of it. You know, from the days back in the day when I talked to him, it was like talking to a teenager. And when I talk to him now, it's like talking to a race car driver.
Yeah.
That knows about race car driving and talks about race car driving and does what he's supposed to do. So I don't know what that conversion was for Graham Rahal. Heard rumors and theories
sure.
and all that, but you know something like that needs to happen to Marco.
Yeah, I would agree with that,
Marco. I know you don't listen to this podcast, but big fan of mental health, bro. Maybe you should just talk it out with somebody who's not your grandfather.
But hey, the problem you need to look at, you know, is you know the reason we talk about Marco is because of the love for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of wins he's had, I mean, there's a lot to live up to.
There is.
Yeah.
You know, and you, I mean, you can go all the way to Earnhardt Jr., you know, I mean, you look at what he had to live up to,
mm-hmm.
it was impossible for him to live up to it.
Yeah.
There's no way he could have lived up to it. I still think his dad would have called him a pussy, but that's all right.
I mean, his father hasn't, right?
Well, I mean, not using his words.
Oh, no, my dad's definitely called me a pussy.
But that'd be fitting, though. You're not a male for a male, either. No, Clifford's still all right. So, I've had my times where I've been called pussy and told him to man up. It's not all right.
He put on his big boy pants.
Put on his big boy pants and let's get it going. All right.
No shame in that. So, let's see. You're an IndyCar fan. You watch F1?
Yes, every week. Love
F1. Who's your F1 driver?
I don't have an F1 driver.
You gotta pick somebody to, like...
You don't have favorites.
No, I pick who I hate.
He picks who he hates.
And then I like who I like, you know? And that's it, dude. Right. There's no favorites to it at all.
What do you think about the rumors about Fernando making that jump over to IndyCar?
See, I don't think it'll ever happen. I mean, Fernando's too good of an F1 driver.
Yeah.
He's got three more years in F1. Solid 3 more years left in F1. I think that silly season's going to be awesome in F1 to see what he does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't finish his career in IndyCar, which I think is sad for IndyCar. I think that's sad, but
yeah.
I see him maybe finishing his career in IndyCar. I think that's why he's leaving everything open so he can finish his career and, you know, get a paid drive for a couple $1 million when he gets done with F1.
Yeah.
But you gotta realize, man, this year he's making $20 million from McLaren and $20 million from Honda. That's $40 million. I mean, no IndyCar can make
that money.
No IndyCar can pay that kind of money.
No.
So, but if I had a guess, my guess right now, if I had a prediction, would be he's gonna be in Rohan next year.
Okay. Make the prediction.
If you look at the teams and you look at how things are gonna fold out, I just don't think he wants to stay with the McLaren. But that's not saying that Honda has one more engine update. And if they update like they have in the past 3 updates, well, McLaren may be top 10 team. And he may stay. You know, I mean, you look at Honda's history. I mean, they've got a hit sketchy history in F1. It's going to be interesting, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it? Ross Brawn brought their team for $1 and then turned it into a world championship team?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, it's... F1 is just like any other racing series. You don't know how it's going to pay out. You don't know how it's going to turn out next year. The reason why is because none of the media... We're sitting here talking about Alonso, but nobody talks about what matters in racing, which is which engineer is going to go where.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is what matters.
Because it's the engineers and where they go. And that's why I'm so disappointed with AJ Foyt Racing this year. They got all the engineers. They got all the stuff they should have to make a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Including, I mean, I love Connor Daly. I love Munoz. Munoz freaking, he's what, got 3 top 10, top 5 finishes?
Yeah.
In the past 500s?
Yeah.
You know, he's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, he, like, his first year in the 500, I mean, he still raced in the Freedom 100, and he killed it there. I mean, he killed it in the Indy Lights League before he even came up to IndyCar.
And so, I mean, they've got the drivers, they've got the thing, but so what's wrong with the team? Everybody predicted them a top 10 team.
Yeah.
And they're not even close.
No.
They have all the engineers, they have everything. So there's so much that goes into a racing organization, and who's got it right? Penske, Ganassi, I mean, you can name down the list. Penske, Ganassi, you go down the list. I mean, those guys got it right.
Yeah. They know. They also need good lawyers, so I'm just going to put that out there again.
Guys, get that job.
Somebody got to get that race job in this team here.
Right?
You can't be a nurse.
It ain't going to be me.
That looks, it's not.
No, because I'm not a nurse when I drink. And I'm not sober at race events.
I mean,
it's just. Like, they are mutually exclusive, so it ain't going to be me.
I'm a better lawyer.
I will always give CPR if needed.
There you go.
And then as soon as the real medics show up, I'm a dick.
What about the rumor about Kurt Busch coming into IndyCar? What do you think about that?
Didn't already happen.
I think he did. Did I miss Twitter today?
Didn't he race in the 500?
No, he has raced in the 500 before.
Oh, I meant like full-time.
Oh, full-time?
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, Furniture Row's got their problems, they got their issues, and, you know, that's part of the silly season, you know? I mean, if you look at him, you look at a bunch of them. Isn't Kyle Busch up for contract this year, too?
Okay. He is.
Kurt Busch. Am I saying?
No, Kyle Busch.
You said
Busch.
Kurt, but Kyle Busch is up as well.
Yeah, Kyle Busch is up for contract this year, too.
Well, Kurt Busch already got caught by cut.
I'll make a rude prediction, I think.
Go for it.
I think Kyle Busch will come to IndyCar before Kurt will.
Ooh. Heard it here first, everybody.
I think Kurt likes his NASCAR. I think Kyle wants to go do something else. I think he's like Alonso. He wants to
see what else.
He's like, I've already done this, I've already won this, I'm already the top of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. You know, let's go somewhere else. You know, I know people put a lot of weight in how many championships compared to how many other championships, but once you win a championship, you don't beat the thing.
Right, yeah.
It's like the reason why A.J. Foyt only went to Le Mans once.
He was done.
He goes,
yeah.
I won it. I don't see any reason to go back.
Yeah, why return? I've already won. Right? Throw him up and leave.
And that was back in the day where it was only him and Dan Gurney. Oh. Two drivers ran the whole 24 hours and won the damn thing.
So awesome.
And he goes, I don't see a reason to go back. I already won the thing.
Amen, AJ.
And in the same year, he won the Rolex 24 Hours. You know, won the Indy 500. Hey, it's just, come on. So, I mean, race car drivers want to race other things. So, I think you're looking at a generation coming up of drivers that don't want to be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the NASCAR driver. The F1 driver, the IndyCar driver.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see that crossover. I mean, Montoya tried it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jet Dreyer's got in his way. And then you had to, he didn't compete, he couldn't handle it, or whatever it was, whatever. Can't imagine Ganassi didn't have enough money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those, it's like, why couldn't Montoya compete? I don't understand, but... You know, as good as he was in every other vehicle he's ever been in, you know, it just shows you how NASCAR's a little bit of a strange bird. But I think you're going to see that a lot of these drivers coming up are going to want to be modified.
Well, there was the...
Fascinating.
I agree.
There was a thing, oh, maybe a month to 3 weeks ago, where Hinchcliffe was talking about he wants to try a NASCAR race. And I can't remember which one, because I don't follow NASCAR that well, but... I think that's it. I think
that was a response to Hamilton saying he'd rather win the Daytona 500 than the Indianapolis 500.
Suck your own dick. That's what I have to say to that.
Everybody knows what race is better, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right.
But Lewis is a great example of the modern driver, where you got to have the social presence and the.
I mean, it's a
whole and
the
whole kit you gotta have
to
get up to that level. You know, I mean, he was a paid driver all the way up till he hit F1, and then he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Leading up to that, I think it was his social media and everything that made him a paid driver. I mean, obviously his driving skills got it. He's a phenomenal driver. I'm not taking anything away from his driving. It's just. Once he made it, you know, they're like, hey, man, this guy's known. He's got this many followers. And he's social media phenomenon.
It's the whole thing now.
Yeah.
The whole thing now.
It is.
And that's what Hinch is trying to do with this company.
Yeah. No. Look, it's all marketing now. You got to get that money. So another, I'm just asking a question, so if you have something.
No, that's fine. No, I was going to pull up the clip of Kurt Busch screaming on the radio. Because I would love to see him come to IndyCar just so I could hear him on the radio.
No, I want to hear Kimi Räikkönen going, steering wheel, can I have a steering wheel, steering wheel? Have you guys heard that from F1 yet?
No!
You need to look that one up. It's Kimi Räikkönen sitting in the Ferrari, and he's sitting in the Ferrari, he's going, steering wheel, I need a steering wheel, I have a steering wheel. Can you tell him to give me a steering wheel? Steering wheel, steering wheel.
Oh my God.
Kimi Räikkönen sitting there with no steering wheel
like,
to drive the car. And they're telling him to leave the pits. He's like, steering wheel,
steering wheel,
steering wheel. Steering wheel.
No, this one is Kurt Busch just losing his shit.
Oh, every driver loses their shit.
Oh, no,
man.
But it's like, it's even better than other ones.
Well, I was going to hit you with the Andretti to Chevy rumor.
I don't know. That one's wide open. I mean, Andretti is an obvious paid driver type situation. They've had three paid drivers, and then they usually have a fourth that the driver pays. Mm-hmm. So Andretti's going to do what Andretti needs to do to make money, and Chevy better make a heck of a package.
Well, because if they go, I mean, Sato's probably going to have to leave.
Sato will leave. Sato is a Honda driver. He gets free engines.
Yeah.
It's already a known deal.
Yeah.
He gets free engines. So he will go to another Honda team. That's why he left. He only left AJ Foyt because of the switch to Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
So if they switch to Chevy, he's gone. But, I mean, they'll get another fourth driver. That's not that big of a deal.
I've also heard Rossi might leave if they switch to Chevy.
I don't think Rossi has any connection with Honda. I think Rossi's going
to
leave because Rossi's phenomenal.
He needs to go somewhere where he's a bit of a bigger fish.
Now, and I want to stick up a little bit. I mean, how many 500s have Andretti Motorsports won?
They've won quite a few.
How many championships have Andretti Motorsports won?
It's
true.
Won?
Yeah.
They're not a bad team.
No.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
They've struggled a little bit here, but they just won the past 500.
Yeah.
With Sato.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And they won the year before with Rossi.
They're a powerhouse team that you've got to deal with. And for them to make that big of a switch,
yeah,
I mean, there's got to be like 5 years worth of security of paid drivers. But
yeah.
The problem is, if Chevy's going to pay you to switch, Chevy's also going to tell you what drivers they want.
Yeah.
So do you want to, you know, again, you're giving up control of your team,
and,
you know, and everything else. And it's not like Chevy doesn't have a history with Chevy, and they've done Chevy. They were the first team to take Chevy into the organization. And, you know, so there's no loss of history there. It's just... If they go to Chevy, there's a lot of money switching hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
I know, he said Rossi's a good driver.
Molly's obsessed with Rossi.
No, Rossi's a good driver.
He's a good driver.
He's a very good driver.
Yeah, he is.
Knew it.
He probably should have been an F1 driver, but just, you know, it's one of those things. You know, what seats come open for paid drivers and what seats don't come open for paid drivers. I mean, yeah, his dad's got a lot of money, but he don't have any car in F1 type. He's got enough money to get him up to that level. He just don't have that type of money to keep him in.
Keep him in, yeah.
You don't have Max Chilton type money.
Yeah. Mad Max Chilton.
Is that a little shade of Mad Max?
It's Mad Max. Mad Max Pappas.
Oh.
It's Mad Max Pappas. I am never going to give that name to Max Chilton.
Fair enough.
Okay.
We call him Paris Chilton.
Okay.
Paris Chilton.
That's even better.
I'm about ready to run through the list and find out what you guys call everybody.
Don't do that. That would be bad. Dude. That would like ruin your whole podcast.
I mean, we call people some pretty awful things, so it's kind of what we're about.
I'd edit.
But he's
it out.
Paris Chilton.
Okay, he's Paris Chilton.
Will never be Mad Max.
No, I like Paris Chilton. I like that a lot.
Mad Max Pappas is Mad Max.
Yeah.
All right, we might have to adopt
Max Pappas is freaking
Paris Chilton.
Awesome. Dude.
Paris Chilton.
He looks like him.
He does. Though. He does.
Oh my god! So a whole new world has opened up.
Paris Chilton.
Paris Chilton.
That's why I tweeted the selfie on this.
We got to redo our promo.
We do have to redo. It's okay. We've not done anything.
We've not done anything with it.
It's only one name. How many we got? 21 names ago.
Yeah, we're just right in the middle. And
yeah.
Shane was thrown a driver. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, because we love Rossi, but we're pretty sure he's a serial killer.
Yeah. I mean, he's just got that sociopathic personality.
He just has no emotion, which is what I think makes him a great driver. But I think that's also what makes him a serial killer.
Great serial killer.
Yes. He's definitely a sociopath. He shows no emotion ever. He's never scared. It makes him a fantastic driver.
Well, if you come up through European racing, that's what you're taught.
Yeah.
To never show an emotion. You're a driver. Team is everything, car's everything, you're a paid driver, you're paid to do what you're told, you know, you're a Penske.
Yeah.
You're a Penske.
Yeah.
That's why Penske pays his drivers, because Penske wants Penske drivers.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
It's the same thing with European racing. If you're brought up through, I mean, same thing, you talk to Max Chilton, he's never going to throw you any emotion, anything else. You've got to get an American driver that came up through American series to get any type of emotion. Unless you want to talk Marco, then it's always crying.
Well, I will say, I mean,
you ever get out of him.
I mean, the Australians throw some shade too, though.
I mean, they show emotion. They're mad as shit, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Will Power's on Vince.
And I think you're lumping the New Zealands in there with him. So
I'm loving the New Zealanders. I'm loving the Kiwis. The Kiwis come in too, definitely.
Yeah, it's because everything over there is trying to fucking kill you, so you have to show emotion.
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Yeah, no, I include the Kiwis in that, which I'm sure they don't appreciate, so I apologize.
Sorry, Scott.
They like to be separate, I know that.
Ed Carpenter, you think he's going to stick with Piggott?
I think he's going to actually have an IMSA team. I really think that's going to happen.
Sorry. Wow, we both got...
I really think Ed's going to do an IMSA team.
Okay.
I think he has sponsorship. I think he has the knowledge. I think he has the shop space. He has everything he needs. It's the next step Ed needs to take to be Ed, you know, do Ed things.
Yeah.
So I think the IMSA thing is going to happen. As far as his team next year, I think he's still going to run two cars. Hildebrand, I don't think has, I think he's hit the wall in turn four this year. In a more metaphorical way than a physical way.
Well, I think part of it, that man bun.
See, I'm still waiting for that picture.
We have
Can we get that picture of him in a man bun?
We have only been pleading with people.
Please, can I have a picture?
I want a picture of him with a man bun.
I've been
begging everybody, please show me a picture
of
him.
I feel like it's out there.
Yes.
I'm really upset that we've not seen it yet.
So.
Somebody has.
I got teased that he was going to wear a man bun in Iowa.
Oh.
But he never wore a man bun in Iowa. So I was like, I was just teased. I
want to see it.
I was so excited.
I want to see it happen.
Keep JR on for, because, you know, Ed really only races the ovals.
I mean, Daddy only does ovals.
Yeah, that's it. That's all he does.
It's all he does. So he's got Spencer for road courses. Do you think he'll keep it? Or is he going to bump Spencer up full time and then...
I don't know. Maybe Spencer goes full time, and he may pull up Rehnquist as the oval. The road course driver. I mean, there's 100. He literally has 100 options.
Yeah,
he really does.
But he seems to be dedicated to American racers. I don't know. I mean, he had Flippy or Fill My Pee Pee on that team. So you don't know what he's going to do, because he had Flippy on there. So, I mean, you don't know what he's going to do, but he seems dedicated to American drivers.
He does.
Yeah. I would agree.
So we don't know. I mean, that one's wide open. I don't think Hildebrand has stamped his mark on this season.
No,
like
I think he has.
Joseph Newgarden stamped his mark on last season.
I agree. Which, how do you feel about Newgarden moving to Penske? And leaving Ed Carpenter.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
I don't think anybody would question that one, dude. That was like a no-brainer, you know. The perfect human being moving to Penske, okay? The human being is moving to Penske. I mean, why do you think I root against him?
Uh-oh. He roots against your boy.
I love Newgarden.
I'm Newgarden, too, when he was on Ed Carpenter. He moved to the enemy, though.
He went to the dark side.
He went to the dark side, dude. Penske, dude. No, it's like, that's the Yankees, dude. You can't read for those guys, dude.
It's really true. They are the Yankees of racing. Well, no, they are the Yankees of racing.
But, you know, and I give Roger 100% credit. I mean, Roger built that whole thing. Mm-hmm. He hired the right drivers. He took the risk with the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
He paid the money for the drivers. I mean, he has done right. I mean... And most people don't realize it. How many years did he run Team Penske on the side of the car? No sponsorship.
Right.
Just Team Penske on the side of the car. I mean, it was 2-3 years. So you can't commit. You can't argue with this. I mean, what race is he at every freaking year? I mean, every single weekend.
Yeah.
Every single weekend. He is the team strategist for Helio Castroneves.
Mm-hmm.
He's there every weekend
to be the team strategist.
He's in every IndyCar meeting. Because he's the team strategist for Helio Castroneves.
Yeah.
He is dedicated to the series.
Yeah.
Oh, he
so I don't, you know, I make fun of it that I don't root for Penske, but I mean, Penske is. I mean, granted, he didn't make the switch as soon as everybody else did. He stayed with CART, and he tried. He was part of the CART cartel, and, you know, that whole thing. But, you know, he came over, and you can't argue with his commitment to IndyCar.
Agreed.
He's highly committed to
it. I 100% agree on that one.
Well, I'm a Penske fan, so.
So you can
check
that
out. Yeah. I am.
Root for the Yankees.
I only root for winners.
you know, it just must get hard losing all the time.
Hey,
but I'll tell you this.
You know,
how's he done
my
in the past 10 500s?
Okay.
How's he done in the past 10 500s? Bam.
Yes.
He's been sucking.
He's been spanked. That's how he's done. He's got spanked.
Spanked. What else?
Although I'd love to see Newgarden do better on ovals. I've been a Newgarden
really?
Fan since his rookie
he's
year.
He's not been too bad.
He
just does
bad.
Better on road courses.
He does. I mean,
yeah.
He raced in that category, but, I mean, I think he does respectable. He's read a lot of laps in ovals. A lot of laps. He's just,
yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of laps led, just he can't seem to get to that finish line.
No, he can't seem to.
And, what, Iowa, he finished well, what, second?
He did finish really well in Iowa.
And then, you know, in Phoenix, he did well. So, I mean, he's up there because of his old things.
Yeah.
I mean, the 500.
I know. He's never had a great 500, which makes me sad. I've lost a lot of money betting on that.
Yeah.
Because we always do a bet with
don't
our family.
Don't bet him on the 500. He's not.
You know what? I have for years, and I will continue to throw the side bet in for Joseph
Newgarden.
Because one of these years, it's going to fucking pay off.
Yeah, I lost a lot of money this year because I bet on Munoz. And Munoz fell the fuck apart.
He did.
I lost money betting on Will. It's fine. We all lost money this year.
I won.
You won on your backup bets. Let's be real.
I did win on a backup bet. That is true. Well, because we have a rule that if your driver gets crashed out, if it's not their fault and they get crashed out within the first 50 laps, then you get to pick another driver free of charge. Dixon was crashed out on 53, so we took a vote. Everybody agreed I could pick another driver.
The vote was those of us sober enough to vote.
Which was Molly, and she said
like,
it was fine.
Fine, I'll allow it.
I mean, by taking a vote, I mean, I said to Molly, I'm picking another driver. Is that okay?
And
I was like, it's fucking lap 53. Like, no. The only other time I've done that badly was my very first Indy 500. And the driver, I did win my money back. It was a $10 bet. And it was this whole section in Southwest Vista. That they just, like, passed around a clipboard, and it was random. Like, you just wrote your name next to a number, and you didn't know what number that correlated to. So you didn't actually know who you're betting for. But I won my money back because my driver was out first. Like, they didn't even make five laps.
So you had Buddy Lazier.
Yes.
Oh, Buddy.
Oh, it probably was Buddy Lazier, actually. But yeah, so I haven't done that badly since I was 11 years old and went to my first Indy 500. So I was like, I'm picking the other driver. So I picked Sato if anyone. So I actually did win money this year.
On a secondary bet.
On a secondary bet. Yeah. But, well, it's just like all Dario's wins under a yellow. So there's an asterisk next to all of his Indy 500 wins.
Three
so.
Of them, you mean?
Yeah, all three under yellows.
Yeah. That's how races should end.
But
you want a green, white, and checkered? Are you a NASCAR fan, secretly?
No.
I just want to know. Should races end under yellow, or should they not? Because you're putting an asterisk next to them.
I'm saying...
So should we have green, white, checkers? I want to just know.
No,
I mean, just
no,
stay
no,
for
no.
the record.
For the record, I am not a NASCAR fan. However, I do think it's suspect that Dario has never won under a green. I don't think that he could win the Indy 500 under a green.
Oh, my God. So
oh, funny. You're saying so Rossi can never win the 500 under fuel mileage?
No, I'm saying Rossi definitely can. I'm picking on Dario and Dario alone.
I feel like Doug loves Dario right now. Oh, that's
I love
well,
any
well, he
races
does love
under
him,
yellow.
Obviously, because he has been betting on Dario and Elio for a decade.
No, but I've been, I am a huge fan of any races under yellow.
Really?
Races should end under yellow.
What?
Well, yeah, I'm so curious.
Because they took away Harilo's fourth win last year with a freaking stupid red flag, which was a green,
wow.
white, and checkered. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a freaking red flag. It was a green, white, and checkered.
That's true.
And you know, if you want green checkered racing, go watch NASCAR.
Well, I do agree with that. And I think, I mean,
races
in all
should
actuality,
end under yellow.
They should end under whatever flag. I mean, if it's a yellow flag, then that's when they should end. Because the thing is, you can't strategize. It's a totally different strategy if you're going to have this green, white, checkered fuckery that NASCAR does. So I will agree with you on that.
If you're guaranteed to end under yellow, I mean, you're guaranteed to end under green. You're guaranteed to race to the end. Why are we racing the first 1,000 miles? Why don't we just have a couple laps and
a free-for-all
race?
Makes sense.
That's true.
You know, I mean, you should end it under yellow.
If there's a certain number of laps, and if it's under yellow for the last number of laps, then that's what it is.
No, it's just not even a number of laps. If it's a yellow, and oh boy, just pull off to the side of the road, you got 3 laps to go, you know, and then you can get them off the road quickly, you get them off the road, you can go green for the last couple laps, and we're good.
Yeah.
If old boy destroys his car into the wall, and there's 10 laps to go, you ain't cleaning up in 10 laps.
No, you ain't. Mm-hmm.
You were in the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's done.
TFB.
You won it on the
yellow. Should have made your pass sooner.
Yeah. You know, there's no asterisks to it. There's no nothing. You were in the lead. You were winning the race.
It's true. That's true.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And I think there should be more asterisks to if you win it under green, white, and checkered, because the dude that should have really won it got screwed and got shuffled back in the pack.
Well, and if you're rationing fuel and things like that, it totally fucks you up if they add on extra laps to do the green, white, and checkered.
So, to me, I'm like, races should end under yellow. If it's a yellow, it's a yellow. Just end the race. That's how it ends. You know, go home. You watch the race. It was awesome. It was exciting. The dude that was in the lead won the race.
Fair enough.
Makes sense.
You know, I get mad at it. I was so mad when Hila lost his fourth because of a red flag that had no reason to be red flagged other than they wanted a green, white, and checkered, that I walked out. I was like, they just took Helio's win. Mm-hmm. And he was in the lead when I walked out, and I looked at the lady next to me, who lives right behind me here, and I looked at her and I said, they just took Helio's win away from him. I mean, he had, what, like a 4-second lead? 3-second lead?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
You know, he had a huge lead, and then, you know, and then Hunter Ryan Ray was in the... And right, you know, gave him a chance to get right behind him with newer tires. And wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Over a red flag that shouldn't have been a red flag.
Shouldn't have been a red, yeah.
So, I mean, we have our green light checkers. They have their green light checkers. I just don't like them. Ended under yellow. They wrecked.
Great. Shit happens.
Just my opinion of it.
All right. Well, let's wear the checker flag on that. Thanks for listening, guys. Follow us on social media. Hit us up. If you like our stuff, you are more than welcome to use it. Just please credit it. So don't forget to subscribe to us and rate us, please.
Yes, please, please, please.
Give us a rate and a review. That helps us grow our numbers and get suggested to random people.
You are out there listening.
We know you are. Rate us.
I can see it. I'm stalking you.
All right. On Twitter, we are at FastCarsIn317, and that's IN. Instagram, FastCarsFastGirls. Tumblr, FastCarsFastGirlsIn317.
Mm-hmm.
Email, FastCarsFastGirls317@gmail.com.
Hey, you know, the opinions and views expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers. Views, opinions expressed do not represent those of our individual employers. They are solely the opinions of the speaker. And by the way, anybody involved in racing who wants to chat with us,
we'd love to have you on the show.
Or if
you
just want to
email back and forth with us and let us ask you some questions. If you want to do something anonymously,
yeah,
we're happy
we can
with
do
that too.
We have lots of questions. Like,
yeah, or if you just got funny stories.
Yeah, that's
true. If you got funny stories from a racetrack,
love
we
want
to hear them. Absolutely. So.
All right. Check your flag.
Thanks for listening. Check your flag. Talk to you later.